Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 23. I'll be reading the verses 10 through 13. Exodus 23, and I'll be reading the verses 10 through 13. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household, and the alien as well, may be refreshed. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. The book of Exodus has already spoken to us concerning the Sabbath. In Exodus 20, as we were working our way through the Ten Commandments, we came to the fourth commandment and we learned of God's commands concerning the keeping of the Sabbath day. And now as we have moved along through the book, we've come to this place in Exodus 23 where once again God addresses the issue of the Sabbath. And so as we begin this morning, the question we are to ask, why has God again included it here? Is God just saying the same thing he has already said before? Is this just something that God needs to say twice so that his people will remember and not forget? That's the question we need to seek to answer this morning. Why, once again, in Exodus 23, does God again address the issue of the Sabbath? And what does God say in Exodus 23 that is different from what he has already said in Exodus 20? Well, let's turn, first of all, then, to Exodus 20. And once again, let us read together what God tells us concerning the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In the first part of these verses, we are reading God's instructions for the Sabbath. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh day you are to rest. Why were they to rest? Why does God give them this particular commandment? Well, the reason is given in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but on the seventh day he rested. You see, God is a God of work. 6 days he worked at his creation. 6 days he labored. God is not slothful. God is not lazy. But God is a God who works and who created. And his people, as he gives them this fourth commandment, are to pattern their lives after him. God worked 6 days, so are God's people to work 6 days. That's why you see so many commands in the Proverbs and different parts of Scriptures condemning the slothfulness and the laziness of people. But this kind of labor that God has done in his creation is not a tireless labor with no ending. In the book of Exodus, we have already read about the slavery of the Israelites. When they lived in Egypt, they did not identify with the God who created the world, but their workday was patterned after the Egyptian gods, after Pharaoh, who forced them to work, who forced them into slavery, a tireless labor with no rest. As God speaks to Israel from Mount Sinai, he is declaring to them that their work week must be patterned after him, not after Pharaoh, not after other gods. 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh day you shall rest. Why? Because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and is all that is in them. But he rested on the Sabbath day. Well, now as we turn to Exodus chapter 23, we see that verse 12, the center of our section, is very much the same as what God has already told us. 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household, and the alien as well, may be refreshed. Now notice one difference from verse 12 compared to what God has already said. The first part of it, yes, you are to rest from your work along with your household and your servants. You are to rest. But notice the last phrase. And the alien as well may be refreshed. You see that? God is declaring that not only is the work week to be patterned after him, but the people are to be refreshed. Refreshed on the Sabbath day. First question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. As you keep the Sabbath and pattern your work week after God, 6 days you shall labor, and on the Sabbath day you will rest, you glorify God. You are demonstrating that you have him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Creator. But it also tells us to enjoy him, to be refreshed by him. The Sabbath is not only to glorify him, but you are to be refreshed in him through your keeping of this Sabbath. Well, what else does Exodus 23 tell us? A second difference between Exodus 23 and Exodus 20 is found in verse 10 and the end of verse 11. For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year let the land lie unplowed and unused. Now drop to the end of verse 11. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. God does not want his people to forget that the land he has given them and the place that they live is his land. They have received it as a gift. This is not their land for their own betterment in this world. This is not land that they are to work at tirelessly laboring so that they can better their own financial gain, so that they can better their status in this world, so that they can milk the land for every last little bit that they could ever get out of it, so that tirelessly they labor in this land apart from God, not focused on him, but only on themselves. God commanded his people that after they entered the land, that after 6 years of working and serving the land, they give it rest. Rest. Rest so that the land may be refreshed. God doesn't want his people to labor tirelessly as they labored in Egypt. In Egypt, their God was Pharaoh as they served him. In Egypt, they were forced to do his work. Their life was patterned after him, not the Lord. And God doesn't want the same thing to happen to them in the promised land. This land is His, not theirs. They work it for Him, not for themselves. And as it is used and as they rest, it is given back to God. No one in Israel may be said that they are a workaholic. It may be said of no one in Israel that the land or their work owns them. They are commanded 1 year in seven to rest, and look what they do with it. The middle of verse 11. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. They donate it to charity. They use that 1 year that they do not work their land so that those who do not have food, the poor, may use it and benefit from it, so that the wild animals may eat and enjoy and have food. They set this land aside for the purpose of God's glory, so that it may rest and those who do not have enough may be served. Now, obviously, not everyone in Israel rested at the same time. The whole country didn't get on this six-year cycle so that 6 years the whole country was planted and had crops, and for 1 year they didn't have any. This was patterned in such a way so that people had their seventh year at a different time. And they did this so that the poor would have food not just 1 year, but every year. So that the wild animals would have food not just 1 year, but every year. But each year, somebody was on a different cycle. And each year, somebody had to trust that God would provide for them in that sixth year, that they may have enough during that seventh year. Now, why is this so important? In Exodus 20, we learned that God had patterned their lives after Him. In Exodus 23, we learn that the people are not to work tirelessly, but that they and their land must be refreshed. Why? Why is this so important? Well, look at verse 13. Notice that verse 13 is carefully placed right here in Exodus 23, following this command concerning the Sabbath. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. God has given them this Sabbath command, this Sabbath year, and this Sabbath day, so that they will recognize that what they have is His. So that they will not worship their work, so that they will not worship this world, so that they will always have their minds and their hearts set upon Him, not upon the things of this world. Because when they fail to keep their Sabbath, soon they are not invoking the name of God on their lips, but the names of other gods are heard on their lips. Now, wait a minute, you say. Are you telling me that if we don't observe the Sabbath, we're going to be worshiping other gods? Can it really be that important? Well, that is exactly what happened to Israel. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 20. The prophet Ezekiel chapter 20. And Ezekiel chapter 20, God addresses this very issue. And remember that in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is prophesying to the people who are in Babylon. And as the people have been carried away into captivity and as they live in the land of Babylon, they're asking themselves this question: what are we doing here in Babylon? Why has God, as His chosen people, put us out of our land and into this land once again of slavery in Babylon? What are we doing here when the promised land is in Israel? And so God tells them in Ezekiel 20, verse 10, he tells them this. Therefore I led them out of Egypt, and I brought them into the desert. I gave them my decrees and made known to them my laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them. Also I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so that they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. This Sabbath was a sign between God and his people, a Sabbath that they were his and he owned them. That they, as they observed the Sabbath, testified that Jehovah was their God. But look what happens in verse 21. But the children rebelled against me. They did not follow my decrees. They were not careful to keep my laws, although the man who obeys them will live by them, and they desecrated my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and send my anger against them in the desert. But I withheld my hand, and for the sake of my name I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. Also with uplifted hand I swore to them in the desert that I would disperse them among the nations and scatter them throughout the countries, because they had not obeyed my laws and had rejected my decrees and desecrated my Sabbaths, and their eyes lusted after their father's idols. I gave them over to statues that were not good and to laws they could not live by. I let them become defiled through their gifts, the sacrifice of every firstborn, that I might fill them with horror so that they would know that I am the Lord. They did not keep the Sabbath. They began to see the land not as God's gift to them, but as their own betterment to this world. Their working the land was for their own profit. Their working the land was for their own status. The more things that they wanted, the more things that they needed. They didn't want to give up that seventh year to rest. After all, this land is ours. We must earn and have as much as we can. No time to rest on the Sabbath. It's a day off. A time to run some errands maybe we don't have time to run on other days. We're too busy. And soon, as God has declared, their eyes lusted after their father's idols, and God gave them over to the worship of pagan gods, just as he declared in Exodus chapter 23, verse 13. And so God instituted for his people a Sabbath. At the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we read of the fall of Jerusalem. And in the end of 2 Chronicles 36, verses 20 and 21, we read these words. The king of Babylon carried into exile to Babylon the remnant. They who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. The people saw the land not as God's gift. They saw it as their own possession, as their own betterance for the things of this world. They had no time for rest, no time to dedicate it to the Lord. So God instituted his own rest. 70 years they left the land. 70 years the land rested. And the people were reminded, it's not theirs, it's God's. What then of us in this New Testament day? We are reading here this morning about the Old Testament Sabbath. We are reading about laws that were given to the civil kingdom of Israel, about the resting of the land, about the resting on the seventh day. Well, the Lord Jesus does speak about rest. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 26 and 27, or 26, I'm sorry, 28 through 30, Jesus tells his people this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus has come into this world and he has brought rest. He has come and fulfilled this Sabbath command. He has come and kept the Sabbath perfectly. He kept all of the other commandments perfectly. Jesus has worked so that his people can rest. What kind of rest is Jesus talking about? Is he talking about a temporary rest on this earth, that if you know him, that gives you Sunday off? Jesus is talking here in Matthew 11 about an eternal rest. An eternal rest that he has earned for his people. An eternal rest that he has brought his people into. You already are now in his rest, if you know Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll just read it for you, we read this in verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God rested from his. What work are you resting from? You're resting from the work that Jesus has done. Jesus has kept that law. Jesus has obeyed that Sabbath perfectly. Jesus has worked so that we may rest. Our works, our obedience is not what brings us into God's eternal rest. It is Jesus' works, it is Jesus' obedience that enables us to rest in him. We come to him with burdens, heavy laden by the things of this world, and in Jesus we know eternal rest. He has purchased it. He gives us this eternal Sabbath rest. Well, what then about Exodus chapter 23? Exodus chapter 23 was given to the civil community of Israel. Since Jesus has fulfilled the Sabbath, since Jesus has come and given us this rest, since we already possess the promised land, what about working 6 years and resting? Well, remember, this was a law given to the civil community of Israel. They worked for 6 years and they let the land rest. The civil community of Israel is no longer here. This law no longer applies. But we can sure learn something from it, can't we? The principle of this law is that your work does not own you. Is that what you do on this earth does not take you away from God, so that you never forget that the things that you have, the things that you own, the things that you do are not yours. They're God's gift. God has blessed you with them, and you are to take care of them, never forgetting that they're his and not yours, never forgetting that they are to be used for his kingdom and for his glory. that some of it is given to charity or to his people, to his kingdom. That was the principle that still applies. The rest of Exodus 23 is very closely connected with God's moral law and the Ten Commandments, the moral law that God has given us. 6 days you shall labor, and on the Sabbath you shall rest. That hasn't expired. That's still commanded. That's still for us to obey. Our lives are to be patterned after our God, patterned after His work and His rest, because we identify with Him, not in the things of this world, so that we may be refreshed. The Israelites failed to keep their Sabbaths. Because they failed to rest, because they became caught up in what they had, in what they could make, in what they could accomplish, in what they needed to get done in 7 days, they had no time for God, and they worshiped the earth in which they lived. We have what's even greater. Christ has done the work. Christ has brought us into an eternal Sabbath rest, which begins here on earth and which in the completion of time will be fulfilled for all eternity. We rest from our work and we live in Jesus. But what about His Sabbath? What about the time that we spend patterning our lives after Him and His glory? What about this idea of not being owned by this world, of not being owned by your work, of not living on the Sabbath to get some things done that you didn't get done during the other 6 days? What about spending that seventh day mimicking God's eternal rest in heaven? In heaven, you will praise God. You will hear from His word. You will glorify Him all the time. That doesn't start then. For those who know Jesus as their Savior, that should happen now. How is your Sabbath? How is your rest? Come unto me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the call of our Savior. That's what He wants His people to do and how He wants them to live. That's how He's called you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the words that You speak to us in Exodus 23. We thank You, Lord, for our Savior who is Jesus, who has brought us into the eternal Sabbath rest that Joshua could not bring the children of Israel into, but He, by His death and resurrection, has brought us into. We pray, O God, that You would help us in our lives to pattern them not of the gods of this world, but to have it patterned after Jesus, to have it patterned after our Creator, our Savior, that we may rest in Him as we will eternally rest in heaven, each week as we come to worship, each week as we rest on the Sabbath. Help us, Lord, not to be those like the Israelites, who became so caught up in their world and what they could gain from it, they totally left You and the promises of eternal life. May we always have our focus on You and Your Word and the grace that You have given us in Jesus. May we live our lives out of the resurrection, out of this eternal rest. May it always give us joy for the future of Your kingdom and forevermore. Amen.